Praise the Lord. Let's just pray for a minute, amen. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Yarandi yalala motion doro siata kara yalala motion toro yolosa. Yaranda yalala motionanda rasiki yaranda yalala motion toro. Yaranda yalala motionanda rasi Father. Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am thankful to be in a house where I can feel comfortable because I can say that because your spirit interacts with my spirit. Because there's something in your spirit dwelling inside you that's inhabited in you, that's within me as well. Therefore, we connect. And everything that Brother Nick just said is everything that God said and put in my mind, saying there's a connection between every believer that seeks after God and the truth. Amen? I believe that. I came in here thinking that it's going to be uncomfortable, but that's not true at all. Not even close. Not an ounce, because my flesh was inhibiting me from connecting with everyone else in this place, saying that you're different. In what ways? Right? In what ways? I'm not different. I'm just a sinner who got up when I fell, baptized in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost, as everyone in here can testify in the same fashion. Therefore, we're all connected together. One God, one Spirit. Amen. I just want to give a little testimony. I grew up in the Philippines until I was 9 years old. Came here in 1990. A long time ago. That's a long time ago for me, at least, you know. But not knowing any other dialect other than the first dialect I remember was Visaya, which was almost pretty much like Spanish. And then after that, I had to go to Manila to get to the airport. Now, mind you, I was probably about 7 or 8, okay? Went to Manila and had to learn their dialect, which is Tagalog, because I couldn't understand what they were saying. So I had to connect with them. And the only way to learn was when they spoke, I received and just kind of mimicked. And then all of a sudden, within probably months, I picked up the language. So that was pretty cool. And then I was plucked out from the Philippines at a young age and was brought here to America when I was 9. So that was some harsh stuff for me. Pretty young age to be plucked out from there. So I had to learn. I had to learn the language, another language all over again, which was English. I'm going to tell you right now, English is a very hard language. And I asked my uncle, I said, Uncle, how do you learn? In my small vocabulary, I said, how do you learn how to speak? And he said, well, Reggie, all you have to do is read a lot of books and learn. I said, but I don't know how to pronounce any of these words. He says, well, just read. I don't know what I read, but I just read. And from then on, I learned. I learned how to speak English. After that, probably at around 10 years old, when I turned 10, a year later, I felt the fear of It finally actually dawned on me how I was not anymore in a comfortable place where I was. I wasn't able to go see my friends. I was heartbroken because I didn't see my mom or my sister any longer. It was just my father and I there. And, of course, his brothers, his sisters, and my grandma. But I didn't see anyone else. It was just I felt like I was alone. I didn't know who my aunt was or my uncle was. I've never seen him before until now. coming here in America. So once I'm in that predicament where I'm unsure, I'm afraid, I'm scared. I'm a little boy. But I had to learn and how to grow up. Now, mind you, what kept me strong, I should say, is my grandma. One of my oldest memory. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but my oldest memory of my grandma, my mother's mom, my mother's side, is she would wake me up at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and we'd go to the cathedral in the Philippines. I was probably like around 5 or 6 years old. We go to a cathedral, and you ask, why would you go there? Why would you go to a cathedral? Well, in the cathedral, there is a coffin-looking thing, and it's made of glass, and there in it is what presumably would be Jesus laying down, and there's candles that we would light, and there's a bunch of lit candles there, and that's where we would say our prayers, all the rosaries and everything. So for I don't know how long I can remember, all I know is I would wake up early in the morning before the rooster crowed, and it would just be my grandma praying. And I'd be there half asleep trying to pray. Don't know what I'm saying. Don't know what I'm praying for. But that was just something that I did with my grandma. So I knew God was with me. Another memory that I had was when I was in the Philippines was in the rice field is what we had. And the only thing I would eat was spinaches, potatoes, put a little salt, and you're pretty much good for the day. So I was grateful for what I have now, from what I have from then. But I still didn't forget, coming here in America, how my grandma raised me into loving God in that fashion. Her dedication, her work, I see it. And all the testimonies of people being brought by their, raised by their grandma and their mom in church and whatnot. I mean, it was a Catholic church, but I still had the belief that there is a God out there for me, that he is looking out for me. Amen? And so I was very grateful of that. I was very grateful of that because it taught me something. It taught me to love a higher being more than myself. But growing up here in America, I was troubled. So therefore, I trusted myself. Big difference, huh? Trusted myself. Learned the streets. Figured out how to do things on my own. Pretty much got kicked out of my aunt's house when I was 12 years old. Pretty bad, but, you know, made me realize the importance of family. Because the only one I had was my dad, which he never showed up anywhere. Because the only time he acknowledged who I was on my birthday. He would just give me $20. And 1990, $20 is a lot of money. Okay, it's a lot of money. I felt rich as a kid. But it made me realize that no one was there. So I turned to who I knew best. I said, God, Jesus, God the Father, whatever it was that my grandma taught me, that was embedded in my heart, that's what I prayed. I didn't know any better. I'm a kid, right? So I said, God, why is this happening to me? What am I doing something wrong? Because that's how you felt. That's how I felt. I felt like I was doing something very wrong. I said, God, am I doing something wrong? Is there something that I'm not, you know, that I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not doing it? God help me. And didn't hear anything. Because I'm just a kid. I don't know any better. Now, after about maybe when I turned 15 or 16 years old, there was a church in Federal Way. Church in Federal Way. A Pentecostal church. Pastor Diolito. Aaron Dine. And I remember Pastor Schoonover, when he still had darker hair, when he visited there. And it was a long time, it was, yeah, 95, 96 or something like that. And I remember just feeling right in that place. And when I received the Holy Ghost at a young age, I just realized that this is where I belong. This is where I am supposed to be. It just seemed what my grandma had taught me just all of a sudden just turned right around. And when I came to church, when I came into the faith, when I received the Holy Ghost, when I was baptized in Jesus' name, it just made everything come together. It may not be completed, but it just came together. And I said, God, now what's next? What's the phase? What do I do now? Right? That's me. I don't know what to do. I'm still a young kid. I'm still a teenager. Well, went to Bible college. Sure. Get an education. Went to CLC 4 years. Got my bachelor's. That was fun. That's all I can say. Is that was fun. It was entertaining. Because it made me realize how just what it seemed like, how you're supposed to act. It just made me feel like you're supposed to be this way. You're supposed to look this way. You're supposed to act this way. And I'm looking, and I'm going, I said, is that what the Bible says? In my mind, just my own opinion, no one else's. That's how I felt as a young kid. I just felt that. I said, am I really supposed to be this way and that way and whatnot and every which way I can to be some sort of a robot? And that's how I felt. I said, God, or is it that I'm supposed to be led by you? Or I'm supposed to just pray and all of a sudden say, hey, God, what do you want me to do today? What am I supposed to do today? Because I felt like it had to be some sort of sequence, just like the rosary, you know? It has some sort of sequence of things to do, to pray, to figure out that, okay, now I'm in the will of God. Now I think I'm okay. I'm sure that I'm okay. That's how it felt as a young kid, trying to figure out where I'm at in church and life. And after a while, I got bored with that. Left church. Big bubble. Left the bubble of CLC. Praying all the time, you know? Sacrificial things on the ground and just all the altar calls. I shed so much tears. I lost about 5 pounds probably every night. But that's just how it felt. I mean, it was just in that bubble of, oh, I'm near God all the time. I left that and I went to the other extreme. I joined the military. I don't know. I said, God, I don't know. I'm here. Okay, I'm here. I joined the military. Went into service, went in the army. Served for 5.5 years. Went to Afghanistan, 2009, 2010. Went in the Mirza push. Fought in Afghanistan. And I never thought I would see that extreme of life. Because I came from a different lifestyle where I didn't know what I was doing, came from a different world, different part of the planet, you know, I mean, not planet, but different part of the world, and then come over here and became a church member, and all of a sudden all the right things to do, and thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do these things, and live right, and now I'm on a different type of spectrum. I am kill or be killed mindset. I said, I don't know what's happening. It's like my mind was in such a turmoil of don't know what to think. I was so lost. Have you ever felt like that? So lost. I prayed. I said, God, what do I do? I'm in this situation now. You can't back out. Once you join, you raise your right hand. You can't back out. You can. There is no way. 8 years. You are devoted. It is a contract. You are devoted 8 years. And realizing that, I said, you know, God, thy will be done. Whatever manner of situation that's occurring in my life right now, I know there is a purpose and there is a reason why I'm going through it. And I finally understood. I remember Bishop telling me, You ever had that concept of being broken apart and then put back together again? I said, yes, Bishop. And it just saturated, just that thought, entertained that thought for so long. And I said, you know, like a meat tenderizer, my flesh, I'm a very fleshy guy. In a sense of, I was very vain person, and I thought the best of myself. I spoke well. I said, I'm good at doing things. I'm good at sports. I said, I'm good at doing these things. I can do all these things by myself. And God just shut me down real quick. Shot me down real quick. And I felt just being, the whole time, just God just pounding and pounding and pounding and said, you need to soften yourself and submit to me. Seeing my grandma every morning submitted in her faith, and it's just reoccurring in my mind now as I see it, how she would submit herself daily. And now I'm looking at myself and at an older age, going to having that commitment, knowing that God is going to be on your side, that it's okay to let go, and let God just do the work in us, in me, because that's the situation where I am in. That is where I am in right now. There is a resonating, residual sense of spiritual, like, impact in this room right now because of pause. I feel it. It's amazing. It feels amazing. And you know what it is? When I was sitting back there and I spoke to Brother Miko and I spoke to Brother Jeremy, people from Life Church, Kent, I said, I feel like when Brother Bourne spoke regarding that fan, how would just the heat would just be excruciating and more and get hotter and hotter. I said, at that moment, I felt like I was in a crucible. You know what that is? I felt like this metal being just melted down. And in my mind, the whole time, what just kept repeating was how much more of the things unnecessary in your life are you willing for me to take away? How much more are you willing to give of you to me? How much more? And that just struck a chord in my heart. Saying, God, I thought I gave everything. Now there's more. I don't want just a little of you, all of you. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That just spoke to me because for an indwelling inside you to be inhabited by something. Remember, Brother Hart spoke regarding the rooms and just getting away all these other things to make room for him inside you, right? And also being in the wilderness, so on and so forth. But when he made that comment, when he had said that in, I believe it was Matthew, before he entered into the wilderness to be tempted, he said Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, right? So it's not enough just to be full of the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Because growing up, I was just full of the Holy Ghost. I received the Holy Ghost like you and I did, but there were other choices. There were choices that I had to make along those trials and tribulations in those times for me, which apparently, whatever choice I made, there was consequences. But yet God's hands was still there to catch me and to lead me and guide me in the directions where he needed me to be. Because I want my house to be a habitation. Because that's where he dwells. Therefore, every single thing that is unnecessary in my life needs to move. I don't want to be just full of the Holy Ghost. And when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I want it to retain. And then from there, where all of a sudden Jesus comes out of that wilderness, and he is just full of the power of that Holy Ghost. That lets me know that there was something from inside of him pushed all that will out. Push all that self out. Myself. I pushed myself out and yielded everything out. Therefore, the Holy Ghost in itself took control. I'm not a robot. That's not what I'm saying. You're not a robot. You still make choices. There is that. What he said in regards to connection with the Spirit. God's Spirit in you and your Spirit connecting together to where you are in his will. When he says move, you move. You know, it's hard, right? Because we have jobs, we have lives. What does that even mean? We have lives. I know I have kids. I have four of them. That's hard to take care of. I have four kids. I have a house. I have a mortgage too. I have a job. That's not my life. Those are just things. My life belongs to him. My life belongs to Christ. So therefore, what I do now, the decisions that I make now, it's in regards to how much am I willing to give up in order to serve him, more of him in my life. Amen. I'm grateful for that, and I'm thankful for that because I am surrounded by people here that are more than willing to serve and more than willing to go the distance. Amen. Not just to help others, but to literally and be connected to God. In every step of the way, be willing to say, God, how do you want me to go this way today? Or do you want me to go this way today? God, who do you want me to talk to today? How do you want me to say these words today? I've started praying like that now, saying, Lord God, how do you want me to approach this person? I stopped going, hey, God bless you. Not in that sense, but you know what I mean? Like, just so redundant. A lot of times we just go up to someone and say, hey, God bless. Do you really mean it? Sometimes it's just a second nature. You just go, you know, have a good day. You know, it's just like, hey. You know, sometimes we just go and just say that. It's like we're reading off of a script. What it feels like sometimes, right? Well, I want to be true. I want to be honest. I want to be genuine. When I walk with someone and I see someone, I want to be honest. And I want to look them straight in the eye and say, how are you doing today? And I want to feel the sense of that spirit in him. Therefore, I'm able to minister. Not me, myself personally, but Christ through minister to that individual. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for being encouraged by seeing you guys, because I know for a fact that I myself personally is not able to live for Christ just by myself. I need my fellow brothers and sisters. When I see you pray, when I see you praise, when I see you speak in tongues, it just makes me feel a whole lot better. It makes me feel like I am home. My journey has been long, but I found home. And my God now is inhabiting me. It's in me. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that you guys are here and the faces that I see, we're all connected to each other. And I do believe that. I do believe that. When we pray in Kent, we pray for Life Church in general. Because we together, we're the people of God. We are the body of Christ. We are here to edify each other. If anything else, I hope someone receives something today from God in regards to my testimony. Because I know for a fact that each of your testimony will edify the Spirit in me. Will edify the Spirit in me. Thank you and God bless.
Anybody here ever used the term purge? Anybody here ever purged? Done some purging? I have a client of mine who's, they have storefronts. They have a few hundred storefronts across the country. And once a year, they do this thing called inventory. Because in the back of their storefronts are these big warehouses with shelves, and they fill up with stuff. People order things, and they order it wrong, and they go, I'll just stick that over here. Someone returns something because they didn't need it. They bought an extra, and they want a credit. So someone gives them a credit, and they just go, instead of sending it back to the factory, they just go put it on a shelf somewhere. And so once a year, they make them go do inventory, and they have to count everything that's on the shelf. And it's got to match what's in the system. They get charged for what's there, and so inventory is really important. They do it once a year, and they go through everything, and they start figuring out what's there, what needs to be there, what shouldn't be there. My wife and I really enjoy purging, and it never ceases to amaze me the stuff that I find we've collected. Where did this come from? How did this even get here? Did you buy that? Nope. Did you buy it? I don't think so. How did it get in our garage? I don't know. Oh. Hey, our garage is full. Can you take this? Hey, the back room of the church, we want to clean it out. You got any room in your garage? But we all, if you don't go through that process, you can really start to collect some stuff. Boy, all the people that like to collect stuff, they're you can feel their heart palpitating right now. Breathe deep. It's okay. It's okay. We're not going to preach against that tonight. Deep breaths. Ooh, it's getting tight in here. I don't know if it's just my jacket or what. But it's good to take inventory at times. What have I collected? I'm talking spiritually. You should do that at your house too, but I'm talking spiritually. Look at my life. Where did that come from? That's there? Let's get rid of that. We can live without that. When we're going through things, this applies spiritually, but when we're going through things in the natural, we'll open up a box. Oh! That's where that was. We should keep that. Really? Yeah. We haven't touched that box in 2 years. If we haven't needed it in 2 years, it's gone. Oh, but no, it's gone. There's somebody. We'll take that to Goodwill. Goodwill loves us. We'll take that to Goodwill, and someone else will get use out of that. Many of you have ended up with things. I've called you. Hey, do you want such a... I called Brother Tolbert one night. I was like, I got two air conditioners in my garage. If you come get them, you can have them. Giving it away. Getting rid of it. And in our spiritual lives, some of the things that Brother Reggie touched on here tonight, we need to take an inventory of some things. Things that we allow to collect. Things that we just let stack up. They just become a part of us. And we kind of drag them around. It's kind of, they live in tote with us. You know, it's like, if you could imagine those big plastic Rubbermaid tubs that are in a lot of our garages, we We just carry a few of those around with us in life, and we keep putting stuff in there like, well, that one's full. Let's buy another one. So we buy another one spiritually. Oh, let's see. I'm dragging them now. I've got them all connected with cord, and I'm just dragging them by a rope behind me, and I keep collecting more and more. And God says, what about this? No, I like that. Okay. What about that? No, I really like that too. I can't get rid of that. That's my security blanket. I need that. I like to hide behind that. That keeps me from having to get involved in the kingdom. That keeps me from having to reach out to other people. Because see, I got this thing that I keep here. And it's this barrier between me and what I'm supposed to be doing or what I should be doing in the kingdom of God. You know, in all my years, I've never seen God just rip things away from people. I have seen him put so much pressure on them that they finally caved. But I've never just seen him come in and say, get that out of there. I've not seen him do that. I've seen him put a lot of pressure on me in a lot of different ways to get things out of me. I've witnessed him blowing that air into that fire and getting it hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. I've witnessed that. I think there's great value for us in our walk with God to take assessment of things. Look at your calendar. Look at where you spend your time. Look at what you're involved in. Take assessment of all those things. Lord, what do you want me to do? Don't let things just collect. Let's stand together tonight. Dear Father, we're grateful to you tonight for your patience with us, for your mercy with us. I truly believe, Father, that you look beyond a lot of my faults, a lot of my shortcomings, my inconsistencies. The things that I know exist in me, you look beyond those things, Father, and you continue to reach for me, you continue to minister to me. I thank you for every individual in the room tonight that you've ministered to. I thank you, Father, for reaching to us one more time. I thank you, Father, for tugging at our hearts one more time, for knocking at the door one more time, Father, giving us one more opportunity. I pray that you would give each of us the grace tonight to take inventory of our lives, to begin to purge, to allow your spirit to purge some things in our life, Father, things that we allow to collect on us, things that we begin to take possession of. In the name of Jesus, we cast aside. We cast aside things, Father, that you have no intention for us to carry. We cast those things upon you. We let you carry those things. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning.